jobs and things like that. And I'm just going to continue being a bit practical. And at the end, I'm just going to talk about the mandate that is on this church, which I mentioned a bit last week. But I'm actually going to draw out a few phrases, a few sentences which were spoken over this church in 2016. It's going back a bit, isn't it? Was it 2017, one of the two? But somebody that came here was a reliable sort of man of God, you know, and he spoke over us. And so there's a mandate on this church. Did you know that?
Oh, yes.
So I'm just going to refer to a few verses of Scripture and talk about them, as I often do. So this is a lifestyle of listening to God. Isn't it good to try and create a lifestyle? I want that to be my lifestyle, listening to God. You know, because as we said last week, hearing God is one thing. It suggests a bit more passivity when you say hearing God, whereas listening God means, listening actually means to pay attention and to pay attention to Him. And then when you pay attention to Him, when you talk to Him, and you're waiting for Him to speak, that's listening to God, isn't it? Listening for God. And God actually is speaking all the time, you know. And you can see it in different ways. So I'm going to say the different ways in which God can speak to us. And so the first verse here, there is. And this is from John 10, verse 27. No, it's not. It's from Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's important. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Yeah. Last week I talked about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. That's right. And it's often we often need to go to the tree of life. You know, and I said the tree of life was like the cross, wasn't it? You know, like Jesus the vine, and the life comes from it. And you know, we can get our life from it and understanding from it, from the Lord. So we're to trust in the Lord with all, not just some of my heart, all of it. So to be wholehearted in our trust is very important. And not to depend on our own understanding. We have to have a bit of humility to do that sometimes, I think. Seek His will in all you do. Yeah. Seek His will in all you do. So that doesn't say in some of what you do, but it says seek His will in all you do. So whatever your job is, whether you're a student, whether you're studying, whether you're working at home, whether you're just living at home, or whatever you're doing, seek His will. Seek His will at the beginning of the day. Yeah? And He will show you which path to take. So sometimes there's a number of different paths that we can take. How many of us know that? So different decisions. Shall I do this or shall I do that? Shall I do this or shall I do that? Shall I go this way or shall I go that way? So it's good to know, and it's great to get guidance rather than on my own wisdom, because you know that God's way is the best way. So seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. He will show you. So that's worth knowing. He will show you which path to take. So you want direction in your life, and there are a number of different paths, even two different paths, or even if there's only one path, but you can still ask God about that. He will show you. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
And so we'll go on to the next one there. Yes. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. That's good. John 10, 27. So that's His people, His sheep, of course. I mean, He often used this parable of sheep in fields and shepherds, didn't He, Jesus? But my sheep listen to my voice. This is listening to God. You listen to the voice within you, okay? If you know Jesus, He will speak to you, but you can listen to His voice. I know them and they follow me. Think of sheep. Did you ever watch that program of One Man and His Dog? Do you ever see that?
Mm.
Do you ever see that? Yeah. They had these sheepdog competitions, mm. and the dogs had to follow. In fact, it was the farmer or the shepherd that was instructing the dog so that the sheep would follow the dog, basically, and he'd control it, wouldn't he? You know? Mm. I suppose in that case, the dog heard the voice of the shepherd. But anyway, the sheep do as well. If the dog's not there, then the sheep are going to hear the voice. Okay, and you can talk to the sheep, can't you? So my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. Yes, so I know them, he knows you, and you can know him. And it's a two-way thing, communication. Okay.
Amen.
Yeah. And it's funny, isn't it, sheep do anything, I don't know, do anything you tell them, they don't actually do that, but you know, they know the voice of the shepherd, let's put it that way, yeah? And they won't listen to another voice, because they know the voice of the shepherd. And sheep are sort of, sort of humble animals, aren't they? They're not fierce, and they're not, you know, they're not malicious or anything. So that's good. And then there's the thing about hearing the word of God and testing everything. Okay, so we'll move to that one. Yes, okay, this is the NLT version, the New Living Translation. Do not scoff at prophecies. In other words, don't mock them, don't treat them, don't scorn them. But test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil. So we have to test, it says test the prophecies to see if they are from God or not. You know, and I can think of a few examples of that where people have got it wrong. Okay, so you have to go to God. I mean, a prophecy or a word that comes to you from somebody else, and it can come from somebody else, I've been lots of meetings where that's been done, to an individual. Sometimes you have to take it to God, and usually it will be something that God has told you already, and the prophecy or the word that comes to you is just confirmation. I think mostly it's like that. But I can think of an example where, I remember this guy, this teacher telling us about this situation, and he said that he was in a meeting once, and there was this woman there, and also a number of other, I think they were students at the time, Bible students. And one of the guys there, he was known for giving words and so on. And one day he went to this woman and he said, "Oh, God's told me that you're going to die soon.
Oh.
And so you should prepare your body for burial."
Oh my goodness.
Now, can you imagine the effect that that had on the woman?
Dear.
Can you imagine it? If somebody came up to you and said that to you,
horrible.
Oh, hallelujah. Well, all right, you're going to be with the Lord. But we've got to be realistic, haven't we? You know. And so this woman got in a right state, of course, you know. And she had to be calmed down, you know, people had to talk to her. And in the end, the guy, it was found that it wasn't right, you know, it was false.
Of course.
You know, so that kind of thing gives prophecy, it can give prophecy a bad reputation, okay? So the point is, test everything that is said. Is it speaking to you in there? Is it making you fearful? Or whatever. Okay. It should be wisdom. There we go. So, Colossians 3:16. Let the message about Christ in all its richness... I love that. The message of Christ is rich. Is rich. That means there's a lot to it. And it's great. Yeah. Let it fill your lives. Okay. Because that suggests maybe that sometimes we don't let it fill our lives. Let it. Allow the richness of Christ to fill your lives, the message about him. In other words, get into the word. Read the word, yeah? Hear him. Listen to him. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Well, that's what I'm doing now. That's what we do sometimes to each other. We're talking to each other, aren't we? Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We've just done that. To God with thankful hearts. And you can do that in your daily lives, actually. Yeah. What does it say? How do we do it? We do it with thankful hearts. A thankful heart is a happy heart, actually. A joyful heart. Yeah. It says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Great. Now, before we come to God, you know, we want to go to God. We want to have a clear conscience, don't we? Often, yeah. So we need to make sure that we know that we're clean and pure before God. But, you know, as you come to God, you don't have to spend hours repenting, all right? You don't have to do that. We just need to take the focus off ourselves. Yes, okay, maybe we've done something we shouldn't have done or whatever. And what we do is, there was this thing that Pastor Colin Urquhart wrote called The First Minute a few years ago. And in that first minute, when you come to God, just leave everything with him. That's including your wrongdoing. If you feel that you've done something wrong, Lord, sorry I did that. Don't go over and over it again, because once you've given it to God, that's it, it's dealt with. Leave it at the cross, okay? Leave it at the cross. And, so we don't have to spend loads of time repeating. Just take the focus off ourselves. Leave your worries, your anxieties. How many people, how many people here, when you pray sometimes, all these thoughts go back and forth through your mind, and after 10, 15 minutes, you find, hey, I'm supposed to be praying here. I'm thinking about this and that. Mm-hmm. Leave it with God. Be still before him and let him speak to you. Leave your baggage, anxieties and worries at the door. And it shouldn't take longer than a minute. That first minute shouldn't take longer than that. Okay, so here we've got a Psalm 24, verse 3 to 6. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Well, that's interesting, the mountain. I don't often see approaching God as like a mountain. But who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure. I suppose climbing a mountain is a bit like progressing to the top, you know. And we often saw in the Old Testament especially, and with Jesus, how people climb mountains, you know, to get alone with God. I suppose that could be symbolic, you know, but it's a higher place, isn't it? Mm. And to get into that higher place with God, we can climb that higher place as we approach God with those pure hands, you know, after that first minute. Only those whose hands and hearts are pure. Thank you, Jesus, for making my hands and my heart pure. Mm. Those who do not worship idols. That's in something that, you know, what is an idol? It's something that you're treating as a god more than God himself. You're treating that thing more, you know, you're spending more time with that, you're thinking more about that than you are about God. That's what an idol is. So those who do not worship idols and never tell lies. Do you ever tell a lie? Okay. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God their Saviour. Such people may seek you and worship in your presence, O God of Jacob. Nice one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, how do I hear from God on a daily basis? First of all, go and sit somewhere quiet if you can. None of us here have got small children anymore. You might have grandchildren running around you, I don't know. So that shouldn't be too difficult. Sit somewhere quiet where there are no distractions. That's a purely practical thing. I go down in the living room. Ursula stays upstairs. That's by choice, isn't it? You know, it's our resting place with the Lord, really. And it makes listening a bit more doable, peaceful. Some people might have worship playing. I occasionally do, but very rarely. But that helps you to get into an atmosphere of worship. I could do a bit better in that area myself. But some people might prefer to have worship playing, and this helps them to relax more. Because the more relaxed you are, the more I think God can speak to you, the more at rest you are and at peace you are. So it makes you receptive to God's word. Yeah, so you can relax more. It makes you more sensitive to the Spirit. Keep a notebook. I've got a diary. Yeah? I've kept diaries over the last 20 years, really. And I've got a whole stash of them. And I put the dates on them. And I put the day and the date. Okay? And so, in fact, my diary is a mixture of what I do sometimes and things that happen and also what God tells me. Okay? So I have to look hard to what God has spoken to me about. But I go through them and I pick out those things. I mean, in my diary, I say, the Lord said to me this morning, blah, 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 yeah. And then the next thing I say, West Ham lost 3-0, home to Newcastle. So there's quite a mixture in my diaries. Anyway, that's beside the point. So write everything down. Dreams, scriptures, prophecies, so you can remember what God says and refer back to it. So you see, I'm going to talk a little bit about dreams in a minute, but scriptures, if something jumps out at you and says, oh, that's incredible. Because God does that. He lights it up somehow. That's relevant to me, isn't it? Great. Yeah, so write it down. Because it could be a, what's the word? It could be a special day that God speaks to you, a special time. So, and then you can refer back to it in the future if you start doubting something. If you have a dream, I do this, I write down my dreams. I have a lot of dreams, actually, more so than I ever did. Probably because I'm an old man now, because it says your old men will dream dreams. But I'm older, sorry. I'm young in heart. As Clint Eastwood said, keep the old man out. Yeah. I'm not old, sorry. But I'm older. So I start dreaming dreams. Your young men shall see visions, as it says, doesn't it? Okay, so refer back to it, that's right. So keep a record of these things. Write everything down as God gives revelation. Okay, yes. So, I'm just going to see the next verse here. Psalm 25, verse 14. There's a private place reserved for the lovers of God where they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. That's nice, isn't it? Yeah. That's from the Passion version, okay, which I heard somebody say. I haven't got a Passion version, but I like that. There's a private place, so you need to get in with God private, don't you? Wherever that is. For the lovers of God, are you a lover of God? Let's be lovers of God. Where they sit near him, so you can imagine God just sitting there by you, yeah, near you, and receive, it's important to receive, the revelation secrets of his promises. So he made some promises, and he wants to reveal the important things about those promises to you. Secrets. Interesting, that, isn't it? Because it is a bit like secrets. When is a secret not a secret? When it's revealed to you. And to find out the secrets of God, sometimes it says mysteries, and secrets not always the same as mystery, but I want to know more secrets that God has for me. But you have to sort of press in there and listen to God for those secrets. For you personally, yeah? For the promises that he has for you personally. And he has promises for you personally. And you can hear from him. That's good, isn't it?
Yes.
There's a verse, I think, in Revelation that says, well, I don't know if it's in Revelation, but it's not in Revelation, actually, but it's in one of the epistles. It says, call on me, and I will tell you things you have not known. Maybe it's in Isaiah, that. Call on me, and I will tell you things you have not known. In other words, you'll get revelation. And that's wisdom. You can actually speak into other people's lives with that wisdom that they need sometimes. So everything we ever need is found in his word. And whatever message we receive from other people, it has to align with the word of God. Or ever any message that we think we receive, either a dream or something, it's got to align with the word of God. Okay, so I'll just go to the next verse there. It talks about wisdom here, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, as it says in James 13. Okay, so if you want wisdom that comes from heaven, that comes from the word of God, and that's what it should be like. Okay, pure, peace-loving, considerate, kind. Okay, and that example I gave you just now probably isn't very considerate, is it, about the woman who received that from another person. Submissive, full of mercy. Ah, full of mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is God not giving you something you deserve. And grace is God giving you something you don't deserve. I thought that was a good definition. Impartial. So much we see today, so many messages are partial and not impartial. In other words, they're biased. Reading the newspapers and look online and things like that, and media is biased, isn't it? but it should be sincere, James 3:17. So, so there are different ways in which we can receive the words, how God speaks. Okay, let's look first at how he first speaks through the word. Okay, and I'm just going to give you an example, but I'll refer to the passage first, the next one. Psalm 119, 103 to 105. How sweet are your words to my taste?
Oh, that's nice.
It's like a nice meal. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. His word is like bread. Jesus said, you know, my bread is the word of God. You know, what I eat. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Again, it's wisdom and understanding. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Because your way is so good, Lord, I don't want to know about any other path. Yours is the best. It's sweet. It tastes good, better than honey. Your word is a lamp for my feet. I think you've probably heard this before. And a light on my path. Have you ever walked in the countryside at night time? Yeah. I remember I used to go on these night walks when I was a teenager sometimes with a group of people. And you really needed a torch. You wouldn't have managed without one. So your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. You may not be able to see 100 yards ahead, but at least you can see 10 yards ahead with a light. And sometimes that's all God gives you. That's the most God gives you, because he wants you to follow him by faith, the next steps. But he allows you to see what's just up ahead there. Sometimes we need our way lit up. Great, so that's Psalm 119. So God speaks through his word. Your word is a lamp to my feet. And I just want to give you an example, actually. We like animals. Most of us like animals here, don't we? I know there are a few cat lovers here as well. So my example here is when, and I might have told some of you this before, so forgive me if I repeat myself, but we used to have a cat called Sheba. We had two cats, actually, Sheba 1 and Sheba 2. All right? Sheba 2 came after Sheba 1. Funny enough, and Sheba was a Persian cat, okay, and I think we'd had her not very long actually, and we've got this decking outside, okay, and we haven't anymore because we just got rid of it and we're going to get some new, but we did have some decking when it was newly built, it was very nice, and Sheba, I think it was firework night, and you know most pets don't like fireworks. And Sheba went missing on firework night. She must have been outside. And for about 2 or 3 days, we couldn't find her. And it was a bit worrying, you know, because we thought, has she been hit by a firework, or has she sort of run off and, you know, somewhere and not been found or something like that. So we prayed about it. I remember we did pray about this. Lord, please help us to find Sheba, or please let her turn up, you know. And then around about that same time, it was before we found her, I saw this. It was in the Daily Bible, daily reading, and God can speak to you through the daily readings. It almost seems like a coincidence. And it was 1 Samuel 9, and I'm going to read this bit. I've got this bit up here. So this was about Saul. And you know, this was after the people of Israel, they requested a king, and Samuel was a bit fed up about that. God said, we'll give him a king. And this is how it's going to work. So, and so what happened is, there was this bloke called Kish who had a son called Saul, or an uncle. I think it was the uncle, actually. And one day, Kish's donkeys strayed away. There's some donkeys. I think there were three of them. And he told Saul, take a servant with you and go and look for the donkeys. So Saul took one of the servants and travelled through the hill country of Ephraim and the land of Shalisha, the Shalim area, and the entire land of Benjamin. And they couldn't find the donkeys anywhere. Must have been frustrating, just like we couldn't find our cat anywhere. Finally, they entered the region of Zuph, and Saul said to his servant, let's go home. By now, my father will be more worried about us than about the donkeys. Yeah, so they kind of gave up, really. But the servant said, oh, I've just had a thought. There's a man of God who lives near in this town. He is in high honour by all the people because everything he says comes true. That's nice to know that, isn't it? Let's go and find him. Perhaps he can tell us where the donkeys... No, not where the donkeys are. Perhaps he can tell us which way to go. I'm jumping the gun, sorry. And then, anyway, so they went to the seer, as they called him, and they found him in a roundabout sort of way. And then, verse 18, it says, just then Saul approached Samuel. So the seer was Samuel. This was the prophet that they were talking about. He approached Samuel at the gateway and asked, can you please tell me where the seer's house is? Because he didn't realise that he was talking to the seer. I am the seer, Samuel replied. And then he talked, going up to the place of worship, yeah. And then he said, yeah, go up to the place of worship ahead of me. We will eat there together. And in the morning, I'll tell you what you want to know and send you on your way. And by the way, don't worry about those donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, for they have been found. And I am here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all Israel's hopes. Well, so he got more than he bargained for. So the donkeys, the seer, God had told Samuel that the donkeys had been found. He didn't have to tell him where they'd been found because they'd probably got back home. Okay. And I thought to myself, well, that's great, isn't it? Because, and I thought, oh, God's speaking to me here. It might seem like a small thing, but God is concerned about the small things.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes we don't think that. Oh, it's not important enough. If you've got a small thing you want to bring to God, bring it to God.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Even if it's just like a Persian cat. And so God was saying that the cat's been found. And I remember going down and saying to us, don't worry about the cat. It's been found. It's going to turn up. And that's what God was saying to me. And sure enough, I think it was the next day or the same day, a bit later that day, after about 3 days, the cat turned up. And it was after about 3 days.
Yeah.
So whether it's donkeys or cats, God can give you a word, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
So I thought I'd use that because it's a nice little illustration, isn't it? Yeah. And so the word of God, God speaks to us through his word, yeah? And, you know, sometimes we look at the wrong things, or we listen to the wrong things, or we read the wrong things. And there should be no go zones in our life. Okay, no go zones. And we can think of, I had somebody use this, they said, recognize, repent and reconnect, the three R's. Okay, the three R's. Recognize what a no go zone is. You know, if you're watching something, if you tend to get anxious and you're watching something, or you're reading something and it'll make you anxious, don't go there. You know, some people won't read the news because it makes them anxious. Okay. Or if you're looking at something and it stirs some kind of lustful thoughts in you, or, you know, don't go there. Recognize it as being not good for you, because they can be pollutants to your mind. You know, we want the word of God in our mind, not pollutants. Repent. And then once you, as I said, you've got the first minute, you know, and don't keep going over it. Because God says after you repented, what, you know, we say, oh, I'm sorry for this sin, you know, I'm sorry. And then he says, what sin? You know, I've forgiven it, I haven't remembered it. Okay. And then reconnect with God, follow peace. Peace is your indicator. If you don't feel a peace about something, don't go there. Okay? That should be another indicator. The word of God, the peace that you feel, your inner knower, as I heard somebody call it. Yeah. That's great. So the closer you are to God, the more you won't want to look at things or read things that you shouldn't for yourself. I mean, I'm not making laws of this, okay? It's common sense, okay? What's going to pollute our minds? No, because that, you know, it's no use saying these things don't affect you, because when you're speaking to God, sometimes you get images or you get thoughts that are coming up simply because of something you read even last week or yesterday or looked at or something. And this is a big thing with social media. It's addictive. It can be addictive. Okay, another thing that God can speak to us through is nature. Okay? When we go outside, a lot of people like to go, especially this time of year, to go outside and God speaking through nature. This is from Job. Job 12, 7 to 10. I haven't taken much from Job before, but it says, "But ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds in the sky, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, or let the fish in the sea inform you." Just look at nature, God's creation. Which of these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? You know, we're all debating about evolution and creation and did it all come from a big bang, you know, out of nothing? Or was it, you know, just goes on without a creator? Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. The breath of all mankind. All God did was breathe and it was done in the beginning. Yeah. And nature's really a good way, you know, to remind yourself of the beauty of God in nature. Take a walk sometimes. To be outside in the stillness and quietness of God. And God can speak in other ways through nature. And we're going to listen to something a bit in a few minutes, actually, just very briefly. Okay, so there's that, isn't there? Sometimes people experience God through music, classical music. I know somebody, I heard somebody speak, and they say they listen to the music of John Rutter. Have you ever heard of John Rutter? 90% of John Rutter's music is from the Psalms, or his compositions are based on Scripture. 90%. He claims not to be a Christian himself, but that can bless you, you know, simply because the words come from the Bible and the music's nice. You know, I mean, the music can be good for our soul. I know that, but the combination of that and the words, you know, just listen to music and calm down the soul anyway, can't it? So music can be good too. And then there are dreams and visions. Okay, so dreams and visions. Who had visions and dreams in the scripture? You probably can think of lots of people. There was Jacob, do you remember the ladder going up to heaven? There was Joseph, do you remember? When he was very young, about the sun and the moon bowing down, and about his brothers bowing down to him. Wasn't taken well at the time, naturally. Daniel, big prophetic dreams. Joseph, who was the father of Jesus, you know, of Mary's husband, I should say, really. You know, he had this dream, didn't he? An angel came to him in a dream to tell him to marry and not divorce his wife. Pilate's wife had a dream about Jesus. You can see that in one of the Gospels. She says, don't have anything to do with that man Jesus, because I had a dream about him the other night. So dreams can come through as warnings. Yeah, they can come as warnings. I had a dream the other day. It was a picture, as clear as crystal. These bits of grass were coming up like shoots in this plot of land. And then around it I saw these weeds and thorns coming up. And it was a picture of the parable of the sower. You know, and it was God saying to me, you know, just keep the life going, you know. Coupled with that, sometimes it can come as a word in front of you. You can be praying, and sometimes you get this word. And a dream, actually, a word came up in a dream. It was maintenance, and that can mean a number of things. Maintenance. It can mean maintaining your life with the Lord, maintaining things, keeping things going on a practical sense at home. And somebody was praying for me the other week, and as they were praying for me about something totally different, the word breadwinner just shot before my eyes. Breadwinner. I thought, that's strange, isn't it? Breadwinner. And of course, that's what I am now in our family. I'm the breadwinner, you see. So sometimes it can just be confirmation. You're doing the right thing. Hello, Mr. Breadwinner. Okay. There was a time before when I was leaving my job as a credit controller in accounts, And God was saying, you know, and I had this idea to become a teacher, not of kids, but of older, you know, of youth, young people. And suddenly I had this vision. I was praying with somebody one day, and I just suddenly saw myself with these young people around me, and I was teaching them, you know. And so you get this, it may not come immediately, but God wants you to pray in that area, and have faith in that area, and do not, don't worry, the vision may tarry, but you'll get there, okay, whatever you're praying about. Somebody prophesied over me once that you will be a leader of children. I thought, do they mean literally children? This was about 30 years ago. Maybe longer than that. That was about 30 years ago. And now I'm leading children, I'm teaching children. It's the first time for 30 years. You know, I mean, on and off I've led children. But. So anyway, God has worked in. So what I'm saying is it may not happen immediately when somebody gives you a prophecy. And it didn't happen immediately in Old Testament times, did it? People prophesied about Jesus coming and it was 400 years later. So. Okay. So, a lifestyle of listening to God. Oh, I'm nearly at the end now, aren't I? So we've got another verse here. That's right, one more, I think. I like this. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's really affirmation and reassurance.
Yeah.
Whether you turn to the right or to the left. Yeah. So I think that means even if you turn to the left and it's the wrong way, God might say, well, it's not this way, but it's that way, walk in that way. It's, you know, God can correct you, or he can lead you into the right way. People take wrong turnings in their lives. We know that. But God can easily get you back onto the right turning. And to hear that voice, this is the way, walk in it. You know, if you are going on with the Lord, then, you know, he's behind you. The voice behind you. He's fully backing you up. So, do we have a desire to hear from God? I think once you've heard from God, it will spur you on to want more, I think. So, I said just now that I was going to give you a few things about a mandate. Shrewsbury. So I'm just going to read a few things out to you, because this is to do with words given, okay? Words from God. For this church, okay? Yeah, so this happened, this was a word that came to us from Martin Scott. He came here, and it lasted 55 minutes, but I'm not going to read all of it, don't worry. It was in April 2016, and this is what it was. I'll read parts of it. This is him saying what God wants to do. So God wants to deposit something here for you, and I believe it's for the church in Shrewsbury. But I want to deposit it here, which is this. I feel that there is a calling on you, on this church, which is to stand as John the Baptist did, which is knowing who you are, but you're not going to defend who you are. You're not here to try and prove who you are. That's a release. You're not here to discuss who you are. You're not here to say, when people recognise who you are, then that will be a great day. No, you need to know who you are. Why has God called you to be here? This is why it's a corporate word. I believe God's called you here to open Shrewsbury up for God to come. That's good, isn't it? What a responsibility. That's a mandate. To open Shrewsbury up for God to come. I believe it's a word to the wider church, absolutely, but I believe there's going to be a sharp end to it and that it has to be deposited somewhere. And so I want to provoke you that as a corporate identity, you know who you are. Okay, why are you here? You're not here, let me before say, I say what you're not here for. 101 things I can do if God allows me to. But to misquote Paul a little, he said this one thing. See, if I do 101 things, but I omit to do the thing that God set before me to do, then I've missed it. So in other words, God has given us the one thing to do, so we don't have to bother about 101 other things. To open Shrewsbury up and to be a sharp end. the third bit, God, at least, you can say to God, at least I picked up the one thing you gave me to do and I'm running with it. And other people might say, it's not very much. That's irrelevant. That is what I know I have to do. So don't get caught up with things that are good, that are like the 101 things that you might well end up doing, but know that you're here to do the one thing. Okay? It's like spreading yourself too thinly. Then he went on to say, what is your task more than anything else? I believe it is to open up Shrewsbury. To forge a way. That's a sharp end, you see. Let the heavens open up over this place. If you grow, fantastic. People might come and say, oh, you ought to be this or you ought to be that. There are too many church groups that tick the box that say, oh, we're going to be approved of. And this guy referred to John the Baptist often, compared us to John the Baptist. And he said, John wasn't approved of. He wasn't even recognised. But he didn't get distracted and say, well, yes, really, I am important, you know. He's not important. But he's got an awesome calling. He's not important when you compare him to who Jesus is, but he's absolutely vital for Jesus. And we are absolutely vital for Jesus, for other people in this community and in this town. To open up Shrewsbury to be a sharp end. We're not important, but we're vital. There's just a bit more here. He talked about making connections. And he said, so Spirit of God today, we simply want to stand here to speak to individuals, to a congregation, a church, Shrewsbury, a land, and say, open up. Open up, open up. Let the old wells that have been contested over be purified and open up. Open up, open up. Speak to all the division, the backbiting and the gossip. And I think there's plenty of that in Shrewsbury. I once heard somebody compare the churches in Shrewsbury all together as like a chocolate bar, each in their separate bit. What do we want to do? We want the chocolate bar to melt. So, speak to all the division, the backbiting and the gossip to close down, but truthfulness, openness, honesty and youthfulness to open up. Amen. Open this land up in Jesus' name. Mm. Two more bits. He said, I feel this real mandate on you to release clear discipleship, which is not fundamentally sorting out everything in somebody's life. I believe it's getting them into the setting where they are meant to be. That's discipling, isn't it? So that they can discover who they are. If I really know who I am and flow in that, I don't get so distracted with other stuff. There's a security in it. It's what I was born to be. Finally, last bit. It's all about him. So I feel there's a real grace upon you as a people, he was saying to us. A spirit of humility. Now, the humility is very important. The spirit of humility that is on you, that's the foundation. The reason why most people come a cropper when they want to do something in God is because they fall foul of pride somewhere. Humility in the New Testament is normally placed in the context of warfare. The devil goes about as a prowling lion, we know that verse. Therefore, humble yourself, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Not realise how important you are. No, it's the biggest protection God has ever given us, to be humble. Humility. It's like an invisibility cloak. The devil can't recognise you when he sees it, when he sees humility. That's good, isn't it? I like that. It's one of the gifts, one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's an alien concept to him. Pride he recognises straight away. Makes one a target very quickly. So, I feel like there's a real beautiful spirit of humility on you, and that is what gives you a real grace to declare some advances.
Wow.
Amen. So, don't be afraid to be humble. It's one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. The problem is when you get achievers and things, the tendency or the possibility is that you get too proud. Yeah. Thank God for humility. And then God can work with us. Amen. So Ursula's just going to play that thing about nature now. This was a word given by somebody down in KF as a part of the testimony, wasn't it?